And with the local recording begun, why don't we go play a little of that intro music? Because we like Scotty Jam Jam's intro music. For Surreal Politiques.
One simple but brilliant trick to clean your home in seconds and save countless hours on cleaning. This brilliant...
We're not doing it. No. No way. Okay? We're not going to interrupt Scotty Jam Jam's intro music for a Rumble commercial. That's preposterous. We're going to do that all over again. We're not going to let a Rumble commercial... What is the commercial for? It's for some leaky nonsense. It's like, hey, why don't you go fix your plumbing with this? We'll just interrupt the Scotty Jam Jam Surreal Politiques intro for that. No way. You're lucky I don't curse on the show, Rumble. It's a Monday as usual. I know I said that on Sunday. Got a little confused. having a windowless bedroom, you can make some mistakes about time if you're not careful. And so I did a show yesterday. And yesterday, Sunday, 9:30 p.m. U.S. Eastern Time, I was on the air telling you it was Monday. And none of you like corrected me until the end of the show. You're like, sucker, we got an extra episode. But that's okay. You guys are all right. I like you. You guys are cool. And so we're here. We're here again. And if you want to catch 51, of course, it is up on the website. It's wherever you download your podcast, because, you know, Surreal Politiques, we still have access to iTunes and all that stuff. We don't have it with the other with that naughty stuff that we used to do. You know, the naughty program. Naughty program doesn't have access to iTunes. You got to get that on like Podcast Addict. You got to go get that on a Fountain Podcast or something. You got to go find like a cool podcast app. You want to listen to the Radical Agenda, none of that Apple nonsense. You know, those Apple guys, they don't let you do, you know, you can have like the Telegram app if you got an Apple phone. You know, they won't let you listen to Christopher Cantwell because, you know, he's a potty mouth or whatever. You know, you could go, it's not that he's a potty mouth. Like if he was talking about bodily functions, he was telling your children to be transgender, then you would be able to listen to that on your Apple phone all day long. But you can't do that because I'm telling you that, you know, because... I'm telling you not to vote Democrat fundamentally, and that is something that they can't abide that at the Apple Corporation. So they're an intelligence agency, and they don't allow you to use your phone to view my Telegram channel is what I'm saying, and you paid for that. So good for you. 217-688-1433, like to be on the program. And the more you talk, the less I have to, so please do give us a call. So, you know, I don't really, other than just sort of going off a little bit, don't have much of a monologue today. I figure, you know, if I'm going to work on Sunday, I might as well, just read some news, do some phones. If you guys want to give me a call, I'd love to hear from you. I just found out, like, as I was coming over here, P. Diddy, you know, our good friend P. Diddy, guy who's, always helping out the pro-life cause, I'm kidding. He's been raided by the FBI, apparently. I don't know who he ticked off in the Biden administration, but, you know, anytime you tick off a Democrat, you're going to get caught in a sex scandal. So you got to watch out for that. So TMZ is giving us time updates, and that's not a particularly helpful story to read. So you know what? He's black. He's going to prison. It's normal. Never mind. We'll just move on to another story. 217-688-1433. You like to be on the program, and the more you talk, the less I have to, so please do give us a call. Donald Trump, he's got 10 days to come up with $175 million. It's a good fucking thing he's done. Whoa, I'm sorry for the F. I'm not supposed to say that on the show. I'm very sorry. It's a good thing Donald Trump is Donald Trump, because if he was Christopher Cantwell and they told him to come out with $175 million, he'd be like, well, you know, I guess I'm just going to have to do something other than pay it, because it's not going to happen, you know. But he's Donald Trump, and so, you know, he might be able to come up with $175 million. Whether he's going to come up with, like, all the money that they want him to pay, that's another question, I'd say. A state appeals court ruled that Donald Trump and his co-defendants in the New York civil fraud case have 10 days to post a $175 million bond. $175 million. I don't know if they do that in the lottery in your state, but they, you know, the guy'd come out every week in New York and be like, the New York State Lotto jackpot is $175 million, and that's not even going to pay the interest on the bond. The 11th hour ruling from a panel of state appellate division judges, all appointed by Democratic governors, so shockingly enough, is a major victory and relief for the former president. Oh, this is good news. You know the world is spiraling out of control when somebody tells you, you got to give the government $175 million and you're catching a break. So he was supposed to pay $464 million. You know, you see a thing at the top of drudge. It's like, Trump has to pay these people $175 million. Like, these crooks are out of control. And they're like, it was down from $464. And like, way to go, Mr. President. The 11th hour ruling from a panel of state appellate judges, all appointed by Democrats, is a major victory and relief for the former president. That's what passes for victory these days, folks. Whose attorneys had said coming up with the larger bond was practically impossible. The ruling also means State Attorney General Letitia James's office cannot yet begin collecting on the judgment. Quote, I greatly respect the decision of the appellate division, and I'll post the $175 million in cash or bonds or security because I'm Donald Trump, for F's sake. He didn't say that part. I'm ad-libbing. Or whatever is necessary very quickly within the 10 days because I'm Donald Trump, and when I, you know, I cough up $175 million. I can't even, like, get there. I'm like, $175 million, ladies and gentlemen. That's the discounted price. And he's like, yeah, whatever, I'll do it. Go ahead. Take it. Trump said in front of cameras after he left a New York courtroom for a hearing in the hush money case. Before Monday's ruling, Trump was liable for $454 million, which is about the cost of, I think you get like a Happy Meal for that now. Most of the fraud judgment, but the amount he owed had been increasing by more than $111,000 a day because of interest. It's called usury, I think. Trump claimed on social media Friday that he had nearly $500 million in cash and that he had planned to use towards his 2024 presidential campaign. The former president, however, hasn't used his own money toward his presidential campaign since 2016. They got to tell you that over at NBC News because, you know, Donald Trump, you want to be president. Shouldn't you be buying the presidency, Donald Trump? We usually don't like that. But when you just rely on your donors to fund your campaign, we get really bent out of shape about that. We want you to try to buy the White House so we can criticize you for that. So go ahead, do that, please. He also floated the idea last week of mortgaging or selling off his property, saying he would be forced to do so at fire sale prices. His lawyers noted in court filings that bond companies typically require a collateral of approximately 120% of the amount of the judgment, which in this case would total about $557 million. Trump's lawyers said in one filing a week ago that they hadn't been able at that point to secure a bond and believed it was a practical impossibility. They said that they approached approached 30 surety companies through four separate brokers trying to negotiate. The world's largest insurance companies. Trying to negotiate with the world's largest insurance companies, I should say. The other bond companies will not accept hard assets, such as real estate, as collateral, but will accept cash or cash equivalents, such as marketable securities, his lawyer said. Trump's lawyers had asked the state appeals court to either reduce the amount of money he had to post or to stay the award without him posting any security while he appeals Engeron's order. The decision Monday also puts a stay on part of the original judgment that barred Trump from serving as a public officer of a company, as well as the prohibitions placed on Weisselberg, McConey, Donald Trump Jr., and Eric Trump. The court did not grant requests from Trump to prohibit the independent monitor or installing an independent director of compliance. The AG's office brushed off Monday's ruling in a statement, saying Donald Trump is still facing accountability for his staggering fraud. The court has already found that he engaged in years of fraud to falsely inflate his net worth and unjustly enrich himself, unlike us, because we earned everything we got, and that's why we're all millionaires, and screw you guys over, we're a bunch of incompetents. That's not in the NBC News piece I was ad-libbing. The $464 million judgment plus interest against Donald Trump and the other defendants still stands for now. Trump celebrated the ruling in a post on Truth Social, which is fake social networking, so it doesn't actually work. It's just kind of like a gag. Trump celebrated the ruling in a post on Truth Social, attacking Engeron and reiterating that he believes he did nothing wrong, sort of like that other guy, you know, in that other war where they were trying to destroy the world. Speaking to reporters outside an unrelated hearing in his New York criminal case, he called Engeron a disgrace to this country. Alina Habba, the former president's lawyer in the civil fraud case, said in a statement, quote, "We are extremely pleased with the ruling issued by the appellate division. This monumental holding reigns in Judge Engeron's verdict, which is an affront to all Americans. This is the first important step in fighting back against Letitia James and her targeted witch hunt against my client, which started before she ever stepped foot in the office." Because, you know, she ran on a platform of, you know, that guy over there, like, he's real, we're going to get him. I'm not saying, you know, whatever he did, who cares, you know. That's not the point, you know. You vote for me and I hurt people for you. And that's the deal that we make with politicians going forward, you understand. You used to make deals with politicians. You'd be like, hey, can you, like, improve the quality of my life? And they're like, no, I can't do that at all. Can you at least, like, hurt the people I don't like? And they're like, yeah, I could totally do that. And that's how we do American politics now. On Friday, Trump told Fox News he'd appeal Judge Engeron's ruling all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. He must first go through a state appeals court process before he can bring that challenge before the justices. Trump has valued his brands at over $10 billion, but a 2021 financial statement puts his net worth at $4.5 billion. Because he's Donald Trump, and he's like, hey, you know, it was expensive being president, you know. And I was like, you know, you guys are all ripping everybody off, and I'm busy trying to help people out. It's, you know, it's bad for business. That's why nobody does that stuff, you know. He has said that most of his assets are in real estate, not cash or stock, saying at a deposition in the fraud case last year that he had substantially in excess of $400 million in cash. Trump may have some financial relief coming in the near future. Yeah, he's going to take over the Federal Reserve in 2025. I don't think that's what they're talking about at NBC, though. On Friday, shareholders in the Digital World Acquisition Corp. voted to approve a merger with the former president's Trump Media and Technology Group, the private firm that owns his social media platform, Truth Social. Well, that's going to be a big waste of money. Those guys are planning a fail, I tell you. Shares in the newly combined company, Trump Media, would begin to be publicly traded this week, and Trump would have nearly 80 million shares estimated to be worth around $3 billion. Well, that'll do it. Yeah, whatever. I run for president, I lose, you know, $5.5 billion, and then I, like, start a website, I get $3 billion. You know, it's a billion here, a billion there. I'm Donald Trump, make me your president, and then your life will be like that, too. Or you could keep this Joe Biden guy, you could fall asleep, get you into World War III. What do you say? Under the terms of the merger, Trump is prohibited from selling shares in the merged company for at least 6 months, but the board of directors, which will likely include his eldest son, Donald Trump Jr., could vote to allow him to sell the shares earlier than that. Well, and if he's got half a brain, he's going to do just that, because Truth Social's going nowhere. It's like a fake Gab, and Gab is like a fake Twitter, and Twitter's like a fake, you know, it's like a fake place where you could go do things. You can't do anything there at all, as a matter of fact. So it's all just a bunch of BS. 217-688-1433. You like to be on the program, and the more you talk, the less I have to. So please do give us a call. What else we got on the menu today, guys? Do we want to try to go through the P. Diddy thing? You know, TMZ is like, hey, guys, we understand that you're watching our website all day, so you're just going to, like, refresh the page when we say, yeah, 351, this happened, at 352. Why don't you give me a summary? Why don't you have somebody go in there? Maybe you have an AI chatbot do it. Go ahead. Instead of me going to be like, hey, guys, at 2:52, there was police at the door. And then at 2:53, he shot himself in the face. Oh, did he? No, I'm just kidding. 217-688-1433. You like to be on the program, and the more you talk, the less I have to. So please do give us a call. Wait a second. Let me find out. Okay, so I didn't even know about this until just now, okay? I had pulled up, I checked out Revolver earlier. I didn't check out Drudge until like right before the show. And I was like, hey, wait a second. There's interesting things at Drudge because over at Revolver, they're like, hey, guys, let's talk about the January 6th pipe bomb. This is a news site. My God, that was a couple of years ago, buddy. But over at Politico, there's a story link from Drudge. NBC's McDaniel mess threatens to explode. So apparently, Ronna McDaniel, who was the former RNC chief, is now working for the other side. Huh? She went from RNC to NBC, apparently. That's a big gag. And I mean like a gag, like, you know, like something jammed in the back of your throat, you're going to throw up. Not a joke. It's not funny at all. But there's some irony to it, I guess. The uproar inside NBC over Ronna McDaniel's hiring spilled into Monday morning as more of the network's top personalities denounced the deal with the former RNC chair, escalating a battle over the relationship between powerful media companies and Donald Trump's loyalists. Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now, she's working at NBC. She's not a Donald Trump loyalist, okay? That's why he got rid of her. That's why she's fired from the RNC. If she was a Trump loyalist, she'd still be in charge of the party. She's working for NBC. No wonder she had to get rid of her. She was probably working for NBC the whole time. No wonder we're screwed. No wonder Joe Biden's president of the United States. The former RNC chair is working for the enemy. What a joke. The decision to hire McDaniel, which was unanimously supported by top network executives, has already divided and destabilized one of America's most storied news organizations. Yeah, I think what you mean is that they've been peddling stories because they were a bunch of lying crooks. Has already divided and destabilized one of America's most storied. Yeah, you know what they should be storied? They should be taken up to like the top story of the building and thrown off of it. That's how you story the people at NBC. I'm kidding. I just talked like Wile E. Coyote stuff. I'm not talking about violence. It's different when the cartoons do it. The decision to hire McDaniel, which was unanimously approved by top network executives, kind of how these things work, has already divided and destabilized one of America's most storied news organizations, with internal dismay flaring on text chains and Slack channels since the deal was announced last week, because you know what? These people have no integrity. And they're like, hey, guys, you want to report on our written records that we're making so that you can disgrace the company? Because this is what we think what we should do for our employer. The dissent broke into Sunday morning. The dissent broke into the open Sunday morning when the network's top political analyst, Chuck Todd, pilloried executives moments after McDaniel's first network appearance in an interview with Kristen Welker on Meet the Press. There's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, Todd told Welker, citing prior gaslighting. Ha! The people at NBC News are complaining about gaslighting, are they, huh? Yeah, somebody should light your gas. You go run it in the apartment for 20 minutes and go have a smoke. What do you say? Ha 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 ha! There's a reason why there's a lot of journalists. There's no journalists working at NBC, first of all, you idiot. What are you talking about? You're a bunch of codmen. There's a lot of journalists. No, shut up. Don't tell me that lie, okay? You want to tell me about a bunch of lying crooks? Tell me how their feelings were hurt by something? Go ahead. Go do that. There's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, Todd told Welker, citing prior gaslighting and character assassination. From McDaniel's RNC. Oh, my God. Can you believe that, guys? The Republican Party was engaged in character assassination against the people at NBC News. How dare you say that we've inaccurately reported on the Hunter Biden story, huh? How dare you say that we covered up that laptop so that Joe Biden could steal the presidency and destroy this country and get us into war with Russia? How dare you say that we did that because we hate everything that is decent and good in the world? You're slandering us. Some at Meet the Press knew in advance that Todd was privately upset about the decision because Todd doesn't like to be in the present. You know, I'm not going to, you know, Ronna McDaniel's working at NBC. She's a monster, obviously. And if she wasn't, she will be in short order because that's why they hire you at NBC, of course. But if there's anything that Todd doesn't like about, you know, Ronna McDaniel, it's like, oh, well, you know, I don't like to be around competent people because that makes me look bad, right? You know, Chuck Todd going out and being like, hey, well, why don't I just tell you about how, you know, COVID is a pandemic of the unvaccinated and tell you one more time to get your booster shot, you sinful monster. Go put your face diaper on. Privately upset about the decision. But the show's team did not know the extent to which he would criticize it on air, according to three people familiar with the matter. No, this stuff is not scripted at all. He's not receiving orders from the top to do things. That moron is actually making it up as he goes along, you see. It, you know, at moments like that, you know, you might take some comfort in this idea of like a cabal of ethnocentric, you know, Middle Eastern tribesmen running your world and, you know, controlling all the media. At least those people would know what the heck they were doing. Like, did Chuck Todd's just going to go out there and say whatever he wants on television? Like, that should definitely be illegal. Todd expanded on his comments Monday because, you know, he can't shut up. Writing on Twitter, I don't call it X. I'm dead naming that tranny MF-er until it's over. The issue isn't about ideology. It's about basic truth. That's pretty funny, man. The issue is not about ideology. It's about basic truth. This is about whether honest journalists are supposed to lend their credibility to someone who intentionally tried to ruin ours. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Why don't you, you know, report on things you can verify, huh? How about you stop letting Democrats get away with crimes and then people will be like, hey, don't badmouth those NBC folks. They do all that good work over there. But nobody does that, do they, Chuck? The on-air protests represent what could be a seminal moment in the political media as news organizations continue to grapple with how to responsibly represent voices from the Trump right on their screens and in their pages without handing their platforms over to election deniers or bad faith actors who have attacked and attempted to discredit their own reporters. Now, as a matter of fact, that's exactly how it works, you see, because you've been participants in this thing and you're combatants and then they fight back and then you say, hey, don't hit me, okay? So if you want to go get in the ring, pal, you know, you're in the game, you're in the game. If you want to lay down, lay down. It'll be fine with me. How to grapple with how to responsibly represent voices from the Trump right without letting those idiot voters find out what they're saying. That would be a disaster. It'd be like a Russian plot to tell you that Hunter Biden's a crackhead. We weren't acting our opinion of the hiring, but if we were, we would have strongly objected to it for several reasons, Joe Scarborough said Monday at the top of Morning Joe, NBC's flagship morning broadcast. Can you imagine if I was as talentless as Joe Scarborough and I had to try to get by without the assistance of a major corporation, you know? Can you imagine if Joe Scarborough just like lost everything he had tomorrow and was like, all right, buddy, you're just going to have to get by on good looks and talent. Don't worry, Joe. You've got it in you. You go do your 41 months. You come home and, you know, you just get back out there and just get by on the merits. You'll be good, pal. Him and Don Lemon would be robbing banks in no time. They'd be out there. It'd be Breaking Bad all over again. We hope NBC will reconsider its decision. It goes without saying that she will not be a guest on Morning Joe in her capacity as a paid contributor. Because those fools at the network, they don't decide anything. I'm Joe effing Scarborough, don't you know? And I decide what lies we tell on this show, not Ronna McDaniel, okay? We don't have the Republicans come on bring their side over it. If anybody's going to be lying on the television, it's going to be us, you understand? We're better at it. We're more practiced in the art of deception than them, and we don't want those amateurs on our stage. They then played a reel of McDaniel's various comments questioning the outcome of the 2020 election, because obviously anybody who doesn't think a dead man is running the White House is a crackpot. They didn't say that at NBC Politico. That's my mad-libbing. Network insiders are now watching to see if other hosts throw themselves out the window. No, I'm kidding. That's not what they said at NBC either, or at Politico about NBC. Network insiders are now watching to see if other hosts and contributors speak their minds as well, with eyes particularly peeled for MSNBC's primetime Monday lineup. Oh, man. We're missing the primetime MSNBC lineup. Do you think that Rachel Maddow's smoking crack on a stage? I'm going to sit here and smoke crack until you get rid of that bitch. If you don't get rid of Ron McDaniels, I'm taking a husband, okay? I'm going to ban the whole LGBT thing, and I'm going to... They're waiting to see if they speak their minds. Yeah, I think they might make an utterance or two. You know, these people have never been shy about spewing nonsense on television. Where tentpole anchor Rachel Maddow is set to go live at 9 p.m. Well, she's just wrapping up. I hope there's an ambulance. It's yet unclear whether the NBC McDaniel relationship can survive the uproar. It was forged last year when NBC executives wooed her to land a Republican presidential debate, a high priority at the network. CNN had beat NBC in the race to host a Trump town hall, and securing a debate took on extra significance. Because they all understand. They're like, listen, you know, if we just have Joe Biden come out here and snore, it's not going to be very entertaining for our audience. We need people who actually know what they're doing to come on a stage and have talent. And then all the people who work at NBC, they're like, hey, wait a second. Talent is competition, okay? We don't need that nonsense around here. We're trying to get to the bottom, you know, not of the story, but like the bottom of the barrel. The McDaniel deal was unanimously supported by leaders of all of the networks. By leaders of all their networks, according to an NBC insider, including by Rashida Jones, president of MSNBC. The internal backlash began on Friday morning after Budoff Brown sent an email announcing that McDaniel would appear across all NBC News platforms. That sent panic through MSNBC, prompting Jones to tell employees that there were no plans to have McDaniel on the network, as the Wall Street Journal first reported, because, you know, they're an actual newspaper, unlike the New York Times. The NBC insider clarified to Playbook that there was no ban on McDaniel at MSNBC, and that the cable network shows can use McDaniel as they see fit. They just don't see fit to do so because they're a bunch of crooks. Interviews with executives, hosts, correspondents, and producers in the wake of Todd's public excoriation revealed a breakdown in trust and communication among the company's balkanized and ideologically fractured divisions. To start, there is the message sent by hiring McDaniel on a nearly $300,000 a year contract, which will just about pay 3 days of Donald Trump's interest. Amid a growing sense inside the Washington Bureau that Comcast sees its news division, which has been subject to recent layoffs and other cuts, as a divisive nuisance to be stripped down. Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, it's that for the country, you know? It's like, you're like, oh, is MSNBC destroying the parent company Comcast? Yeah, it's destroying the country, as a matter of fact. Maybe you could straighten that out, Comcast, and maybe save yourself from bankruptcy in the process. You could give that a shot. Across NBC, MSNBC, they've been having cutting contributors, said one of the network's hosts. So everyone's like, hey, what the F? You found $300 for her? Well, yeah, because you guys suck. You know, you guys ruined the network, so we fired you and cut your salaries. And then we hired people, you know, she ruined the RNC. You guys took forever to ruin MSNBC. So, you know, she's a lot more impressive than you. She, like, wrecked the whole country. And then there's this deep resentment of journalists who weren't consulted about a critical election year hire that was sure to attract criticism. Yeah, because we wouldn't want to be criticized during an election. We're reporters. You know, we need to win the election, you understand. We're reporters, and if we're if we're criticized, then that's going to interfere with our taking political power, you understand. We can't be criticized in an election year. You got to cut that out. It's journalism 101. Ha 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 ha. a deep resentment of journalists. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, we only got to talk about deep resentment of journalists. We'll be here for a little while, buddy. Oh, you mean the journalists are resentful. Yeah, I gathered that from their reporting. So, you know, why don't you just go ahead and keep on being resentful then? Because I don't think that you should be satisfied with life given what you've done to your country. Meet the Press and Morning Show were the two main forums for political contributors, but the hosts of those shows weren't asked for their opinion. McDaniel was booked on Meet the Press while she was negotiating her contract, but Welker knew nothing about it until Thursday night, a day before the public announcement. Scarborough and Brzezinski weren't consulted at all. Yeah, well, you guys are going to hire somebody. I'm the idiot who's making you guys, you know, look stupid. How am I supposed to make you look stupid if I don't even know what other idiots you're hiring? Come on. You know what? NBC. Fox News survived firing Tucker effing Carlson, you understand, okay? And you know, whatever you might think of Tucker Carlson, he's more talented than the entire MSNBC on-air staff, okay? So Fox News was like, you know, Tucker, I understand that you're like the best thing that ever happened to this network, but F you, because we've got stuff to do and you're in the way, you know? And then everybody's like, yeah, well, I'm going to cancel my Fox News and, you know, and Fox News sucks. And then they stay in business because, you know, they're Fox News and they're not NBC, you see. They're like, hey, look, we don't have to run really fast. We just have to run faster than those cripples behind us over there. And as long as we can, you know, produce better journalism than CNN, then, you know, we can stay in business. And NBC is, they're more like, I got an idea, guys. Let's make sure that we don't hire any impressive people because they'll make us look bad, you know. And that's not, it's not a good way to run a company. When your help is like, don't hire impressive people because they'll make me look bad. You got to fire them. It's kind of the whole entire point of the HR department, actually. And they lost track. They think it's diversity now. No hosts or correspondents were given any kind of heads up on this, said one person familiar with the situation. People are pissed. It's a deeply unpopular move. If they had been consulted, several NBC political reporters said they would have told their bosses that McDaniel was not the prize they thought she was. Yeah. Oh, we're a bunch of partisan Democrats. We're like, oh, why would we have Republicans on the net? Like, even if they're on our side, even they're like sellout traitor Republicans, like, it's just a bad look, hon. let's see, where'd I go? Oh, there we go. Their argument, McDaniels has no juice with the anti-Trump wing of the Republican Party, which is what they need to do, right? They're like, we need to go get ourselves on board with Bill Kristol and those guys, because, you know, they've got the Mossad on their side, and they'll basically kill everybody who ticks us off, kind of the whole idea. Their argument, McDaniels has no juice with the anti-Trump wing of the party, a niece of Senator Mitt Romney, Republican of Utah. She removed Romney from her name, while Nikki Haley voters think she put her thumb on the scales for Trump during primaries. No, you know, if Donald Trump stood on a scale and Nikki Haley stood on a scale and then Ronald McDaniel came over and put her thumb on a scale and then she shot Nikki Haley in the head with a 45 on camera for everybody to see, it still wouldn't be Ronald McDaniel's fault that Nikki Haley lost her Republican primary because Nikki Haley is she's basically a corpse anyway. McDaniels is not especially close to GOP leaders in Congress, and if the point is to give NBC viewers more insight into the Trump world, then why turn to the president, turn to the person who Trump just ousted from the RNC? Well, that's because you're trying to, you know, you're trying to throw mud in the gears of the machine is kind of the idea. Do you think that these people actually don't get that this is sabotage? Do you think that it's like a bit? Do you think they're like, oh my God, you're going to have Ronald McDaniel's going to come over here and preach Republican propaganda? She's going to be over here telling you that, you know, that we can make America great again and that immigration is not the solution to all of our problems. Or do you think that they're all just like throwing this hissy fit? Is this all part of the act? You know, is this part of the script? They're like, okay, Morning Joe, you're going to get out there and you're going to complain about Ronald McDaniel. And he's like, but I like Ronna McDaniel. You know, she helped us ruin the whole Trump thing. Like, why are we going to get on her case? It's part of the act, Joe. Just do what you're told. You're an actor. We gave you your script. And if you don't want to get, you know, if you don't want people to find out what happened with you and them kids, you know, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So shut up and do what you said. NBC insiders, meanwhile, cited a host of factors that contributed to the breakdown that led to McDaniel's hiring. New York executives disrespecting Washington journalists. Newer NBC executives with a print background, but off Brown, formerly a Politico. And Blumenstein, shockingly enough, former of the New York Times. Disrespecting TV talent and NBC News, disrespecting MSNBC. Everybody's disrespecting anybody because they're a bunch of Democrats and they have no respect is actually what's going on. It's kind of, it's how that works. You know, it's like, you know, honor amongst thieves. No, it's like, you know, respect amongst journalists. Come on, give me a break. How could the top brass be negotiating this and then let Kristen Welker, not let Kristen Welker know that she may be doing her interview with a paid contributor? The person close to McDaniel asked in astonishment. Usually contributors weigh in on this or you are that, not like answer these brutal questions for 20 minutes. But it was Todd's outburst Sunday that crystallized the turmoil. It was in some ways the culmination of years of frustrations laid bare by someone who had been at the center of much of it. Yes, you're at the center of all the controversy because you're the source of the problem, as a matter of fact. Todd spent a decade in Meet the Press in the Meet the Press chair and suffered so much vitriol from anti-media attacks. No. He suffered vitriol from his viewers who were unsatisfied with his unprofessional performance when he turned it into a campaign stop for the Democrat Party. But, you know, just a bunch of right-wing propaganda. There was the internal criticism, too. By the end of the tenure, his show was being micromanaged by executives because he was an incompetent fool and he needed to be told what to do. That's not what they said at Politico, but you get the idea. And he clashed throughout with colleagues at MSNBC, as he did much of the frustrating work trying to distinguish between the non-ideological NBC News from its ideological cable cousin. Yeah, just all that non-ideological stuff that Chuck Todd was doing, right? Oh, Chuck Todd, he's a straight shooter, man. Balls and strikes, not at all partisan Democrat hack. But he won over that crowd yesterday. Quote, the fact that he took it upon himself to not only say this, but frankly, to defend the woman who took his job is pretty remarkable. Yeah. Oh, the woman who took his job. He's got a lot of attaboys from NBC News and MSNBC, including from people who are not prone to give him much credit. Well, I imagine that there's a few people over at those two corporate entities that are not inclined to give him much credit. I imagine that the people who are not inclined to give Chuck Todd a whole lot of credit, they probably find themselves a pretty good company just about anywhere, don't you think? And you know how you can find yourself in some good company, ladies and gentlemen? You might pay for this program, you know? Let me go make sure, see if any of you did. I might well go read some super chats. It'd probably be a good idea. Maybe you guys sent me a bunch of money and I got to stay here for a little while. We'll find out. Where are we here? Okay, over there. We got $2. $2 from Glenn 19. Have you noticed that citizenship applications are way down in CA or in Canada? I was like, I don't know. I don't think they apply for citizenship in the state of California. It's not the way it works over here, buddy. I think he's talking about Canada. Looks like more just want to stay temporarily for university work and send money home. Yeah, what they do is they fleece the country. It's the whole point of the program. All right, so I got my $2. Anybody who thinks I ought to get paid more than $2 a day, you go to ChristopherCantwell.net/donate. We got the GiveSendGo.com/SPM, Surreal Politics Media. You can go send me Cash App, Edgy Goodies. Edgy Chris. Edgy Goodies is a defunct company I used to run. Maybe we'll do it again sometime. We'll see what happens. But I sell T-shirts, not these, but, you know, the Radical Agenda ones. Over SurrealPolitics.com/shop, you get them. You get hats, mouse pads. Got a couple other things over there. And, you know, you can go buy my book. I wrote a book. It's called Beauty Revisited. You get that on Amazon. And they'll take most of the money, but, you know, I'll take a little bit of it. And then you'll have the thing. It'll be pretty cool. And that'd be great. So however you want to pay me, just go ahead, do it. And we'll get that done. And I'll be back on Wednesday for the member show for those of you who pay reliably. And then Friday, for all you deadbeats, we'll be cursing up a storm. Have a good night.
That's it. It's over. Then we organize the death squads for the people who wrecked America.
You know what you call people you can't talk to? Enemies. And if we want to divide our society into
armed camps of enmity. All we have to do is keep doing what we're doing.
A radical agenda in the event has turned into an opportunity for the left to push a racial and radical agenda.
Implementing their radical agenda is the only thing they care about. They're bad actors.
What they want to do here is ram their radical agenda down your throat.
These are great Americans. These are people that want to see great things for the country. You know, they try and build them like sort of a radical agenda. It's not a radical agenda. It's called the Second Amendment.